Hi, this is Rob Elbaz from Bloom Digital Marketing. I'm here with Gil Michel Garcia, president of Wafoo Dressing. Gil, great to be talking with you.
Pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you as well. So what we wanted to talk about today was the Wafoo story, how you guys got started, how you took it to the next level from, you know, that one product as the dressing or the one first series of products into the business that you have going now, and kind of some of the insights that you have, as well as some of the challenges you may have faced in terms of marketing, and then finally where we see you going next for Wafoo Dressing. So we'll start at the beginning. How did Wafoo get started?
Wafoo got started with our partner, Mrs. Mary Toyota, who's one of the shareholders of the company. She created all the products basically in our kitchens and in her kitchen.
Oh, fantastic.
And so basically Wafoo, from a product perspective, is her. So all the products were created by her. Wafoo as the company came into existence when we joined forces with Mrs. Toyota in 2006, after she finished the venture doing packaged sushi. We basically spun off that venture into exclusively a salad dressing venture, and took the one product, Wafoo Original Dressing, which was a product that didn't have very much marketing behind it, didn't have any branding behind it, didn't have very much behind it, and it was still a very successful item on grocery by itself.
And just on a personal note, when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, one of my first jobs was at a bagel shop in Côte Saint-Luc, Real Bagel. And I think we had Wafoo dressing back then, probably 2005, 2006. And this was something that, you know, fit in line with what we were selling. It was bagels, it was cold cuts, it was, you know, fresh juices. And this flew off the shelves even back then. So I guess when it started, word of mouth was probably a big driver.
A huge driver. Word of mouth was the primary driver. And it was then as Japanese taste buds and Japanese cuisine began to filter into the mainstream, consumers were looking to replicate a Japanese experience at home. And the Wafoo dressing was one of the ways in which they did that. So our first step was to, obviously, we needed someone who was going to head of the marketing department and understand and build a brand. So Arabelle Decker, our VP marketing, basically took care of that. And we went through the process of understanding what consumers thought of our brand, and where we thought we could grow. And from an understanding of the consumer branding, we created then packaging that matched the consumer's perception of our brand. And fine-tuned it to be able to create what is now Wafoo Dressings, and both Wafoo Dressings and now Wafoo Mayos. The way that we envisioned our product positioning is as a bridge of, in the condiment section, allowing Western consumers, so our products are not targeted, even though they sell very well in the Asian markets, our products are targeted at mainstream Western consumers. In the grocery aisle, and it's in allowing them to make the dishes that they normally eat into a Japanese-style experience.
And the name Wafoo comes from that Japanese style, is that exactly?
That's exactly what Wafoo means, yes.
So it's a Japanese-style dressing marketed at a North American consumer.
At a North American consumer. And then when we begin to build a line, we think about the experience. So what do you do with our dressings? You basically Japanize your salads. You're making your salads Japanese style. What other, you know, we looked at the market and we saw that mayos were overtaking ketchup.
Wow.
In consumer base. So we thought mayos could be a segue for us. It would be a brand positioning that we could carry because there's a lot of Japanese style mayos.
Mm-hmm.
And so mayos was our next entry point. First, we developed a line of dressings that basically allowed you to Japanize your salads and replicate that restaurant experience at home. Whether it's the ginger carrot dressing, which is what they serve at Benihana, or the sesame dressing, which is what they serve mostly in Canada and most Japanese restaurants. In the United States, our ginger carrot dressing is the most popular because ginger carrot is the variant that they will serve you in most U.S. Japanese restaurants. That's the house salad.
And Wafoo brand is being held now in these restaurants as part of that kind of
That's a very difficult expansion strategy. I think one of the few successful, that's what Heinz did with ketchup.
Okay, yes.
That's a couple of mustard companies have tried. That's certainly what Sriracha did. which is to engage in a food service expansion strategy and brand recognition strategy,
mm-hmm.
that's massively expensive. You need major, major dollars behind that.
So the that idea initiative. Is that same quality, but you could do it yourself at home.
Well, it's a completely different business model. We service the food service market.
Mm-hmm.
The food service market is a much lower margin market. And so our focus is not on that lower margin market. It would be a marketing strategy to try to replicate what they did, but the cost of doing that and your geographic penetration that has to exist before you undertake that has to already to be massive. So that's probably an initiative that you would take probably when you're in your second or third private equity round, probably when you're, you know, when you're north of $30, $40 million sales and you have a $5 million to $10 million round from a second round of private equity. And that's what they would be, you know, looking to build in terms of, you know, building your brand on a global basis. And they, you know, sign deals with restaurants and, you know, pretty much you're giving away your product for free for cross-marketing purposes. It's a very expensive proposition.
So this might be, I guess, then a little bit down the road for Wafu, but let's go back a step. And I want to ask you, when did Wafu have its first breakout or first series of breakouts, breakthroughs, where you said, now we've really got something?
Traditionally, our first breakout was just that our brand was very well known. And once we started to consolidate the position of our brand and our dressings were successful, I think that the fact that we relaunched the dressings and all of the dressings were successful was when we knew. Then we de-risked and launched the new line of products, which was mayos, when we think we consolidated. But we were primarily a Quebec product. We did have some distribution outside of Quebec. And the way that we jumped into a massive national distribution was by going on TV. And what we did Dragon's Den in 2013. And as a result of doing Dragon's Den, we were able to secure a Walmart listing and a national Loblaws listing.
So let's talk about that for a moment. You talked about the new line of products when the mayonnaise line came out. You talked about as well breaking into new markets outside Quebec. Let's start with the mayonnaise line. And what was the, say, marketing initiative that helped with that push?
We didn't have the dollars behind a new product launch. So we're a very small company. We're not Kraft, we're not Unilever. You know, we're not a big company that can, you know, put a whole big marketing push, consolidate a product launch push behind the launch of a new product. So primarily our strategy was a BOGO strategy.
Okay.
So, and a BOGO strategy depends on how you negotiate. It can be very expensive. It can be not so expensive.
And BOGO for the listeners, buy one, get one.
Buy one, get one free. Tie-ins to products that you can use with the new product. So for example, and it all depends what section of the supermarket you're listed in, because you can't do BOGOs with a different section.
If your dressing is in one place and your mayonnaise in another, you can't say, get the dressing, go on a bit of a hunt.
No, it's with products of the of
okay.
a different. So what you're trying
Non-Wafu
to do is you're trying
brand.
To do you're trying to do a educate the consumer how to use the product at the same time as giving him a freebie.
That's very clever.
So what we did is we did, if you buy two bags of frozen shrimp, we'll give you a bottle of Wafu for free. Why? Because, you know, we're teaching you that you mix it with shrimp and you put it in a sandwich. You know, if you buy surimi with fake crab, right,
mm-hmm.
haddock flavored crab, if you buy two packages, we'll give you a mayonnaise for free. Well, you're going to make sort of a sandwich with crab, which is basically going to be, you know,
Chopped up crab
with
the
mayo,
Wafu mayonnaise,
right?
And you're good to go.
You're good to go. So what we do is we tie it to things that you can use it with, and we're doing a double exercise, both teaching the consumer what to use it with and at the same time giving him a freebie to try.
That's pretty clever. So you get the product into their hands, you give them a way for them to use it right away, and you let the product speak for itself in a sense.
Right, and you tie it to the double purchase of something else at the supermarket, because the supermarket will revenue share the purchase of the second product. Because somebody goes and purchases one product, well, your freebie is basically stimulating the purchase of a second unit of the same product to get the freebie, and therefore you can revenue share on the profit of the second product to offset
the
cost of your freebie, right?
Makes a lot of sense. So that's a pretty good kind of real-world marketing strategy. And if we talk about the shift into onlines, I noticed you have an online store. I believe you were doing some online sales through other channels as well.
That's very varied by market. Canada is a very underdeveloped online grocery market. Most people do not buy their groceries in Canada online. As a general, and my personal opinion of that is because Canada has a much more urbanized development model and population base, much less of a suburbanite population base, and they don't there's less of a commute of the large populations, particularly younger populations don't commute as much. They're primarily urban, which means that they don't have a lot of storage space, which means that they shop often, which means that most of their purchases are not large purchases online on a weekly basis like Amazon does.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the grocery purchases for items, although there is some, most occurs at grocery level. And what happens is most of our sales online in Canada are of consumers that cannot find our product at retail, that would look for it online because they're unable to find it locally at retail.
So that makes a lot of sense. Canada, everyone lives in the big cities. You're close to the big grocery stores. Wafu is very easy to get your hands on. Maybe you're a little farther. Maybe you live in a rural area. Not as easy. That's where the online kind of comes
exactly.
in.
Exactly. It's to basically supplement the market. Whereas in the United States, it's a market all unto itself because grocery sales are tending to be more and more online because of the way both the companies that provide the online delivery, that's where Walmart's going, that's where Amazon's going, that's where Target's going. A lot of the retailers are seeing online as the major way to deliver products and their experience to consumers, particularly on a weekly basis. So if you buy the regular items, Amazon will give you, your bag of groceries every week delivered to your house. It's highly convenient, right?
And that still hasn't kind of made its way into Canada.
I just don't think because the house size is totally different. The fridge size is totally different. The storage size is totally different.
And right? In America, it's such a suburban population. It's the people that love to go to their Costco's, that love to go to their Sam's Clubs, stock up and basically get a year's worth in one day.
And they've got to store it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And they're value conscious and they like to buy in bulk and they eat more. They're bigger. Mm-hmm. Everything's bigger in the States. So online is a market that we're looking primarily for to develop for the U.S. market.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, it's because the U.S. market is much more fragmented from a distribution perspective, from a retail perspective. So I'll give you a very good example of how you could understand that. Costco has two buyers for all of Canada for our section. Our particular section, which is dry grocery, would have two buyers, one in Eastern Canada and one in Western Canada. And with each of those buying decisions, you would cover the entire country. Mexico has one Costco buyer for foreign imported products, which is based in San Diego, and one Mexican buyer for Mexican products, which is based in Mexico City. So with effectively, depending on where you're coming from, the buy-in from one buyer would get you into the entire country. The United States has 13 different buyers for Costco.
And you have to negotiate with each one of these individuals.
Each one of these buyers would make an independent purchase decision for his customer base, would require independent delivery mechanisms to their own warehouses for their particular region, right? Just in one microcosm of the most national, well-organized company in the United States, you get a sense of how fragmented the entire market is. And that's because the taste parameters, consumption patterns, distribution structure is all very different and very fragmented because it is so different because consumption in California will be completely different than, Midwest, which will be completely different than Florida, which will be completely different than upstate New York. I mean, it's just all very, very fragmented.
Even though then Canada has the smaller population, it's almost more efficient then to be dealing with these two agents in Canada than to try to deal with those 13 different processes.
Other than transportation costs, right? Because going across Canada is very expensive. It's cheaper to go to San Diego or Texas than it is to go to Vancouver from a transport perspective.
Gotcha.
Right? So from Montreal, Vancouver is double or triple what it is Montreal, San Diego, Montreal, Texas.
So it's not that distance. It's really that shipping route is set up. It's there, easy to go, Vancouver, not quite as easy.
So the difficulty of servicing, of becoming a national company, is a transportational cost perspective rather than a buyer decision perspective, right? So in Canada, the markets, so Ontario would be very different from Quebec, but not drastically so.
Right.
Vancouver would be more similar to Quebec, you know. The prairies are very different. They're like the U.S. Midwest. So the consumption pattern there is totally U.S. Midways, like the U.S. Midwest. So products like us tend to be like the Democrats that are bi-coastal, right? So
makes sense.
You just kind of jump all the middle, and
it's
and,
progressive.
You know, it's an immigrant product. Not classic meat and potatoes type of product.
So let's talk online marketing and where you are right now. I guess probably more of a brand awareness strategy then for what your online activities are.
Well, right now, again, we don't have the cash to just drive brand awareness as an expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
So like BOGOs, like anything that we do, has to be directly correlated to conversion to sales. So because we just don't have the marketing budget to just exclusively build brand.
Well, even from kind of that, I've seen, I think, blog articles on the website and recipes. So even if it's not a kind of paid spot, there's still some kind of branding going on.
Yeah, we obviously have a content strategy, but that's not terribly expensive to develop the content.
Right.
What's expensive is to push it out.
Absolutely.
So it's the pushing out that's hard, right? You need to try to find ways that are cheap or that piggyback. So reality TV has been very successful for us. You get on TV for free. We did Food Factory. We did Dragon's Den. We did L'Oeil des Dragons in French. I did Moment Décisif. So there's many different, and I always try to take advantage as much as possible of participating and pitching for reality TV shows, because it's just a great way to get free marketing, right?
Makes sense.
And obviously, having a website, having recipes, having social media. But in the end, what we've seen is purchasing is going new products, in from what I've read,
mm-hmm.
in the United States, most people are introduced to new products, according to the documents that I read, through YouTube. So
makes a lot of sense.
So if we want to penetrate the U.S. market, we have to be YouTube
ready.
Ready. And that means developing content. And so that's been one of our strategies, is how do we develop content in a way that we can afford to put the content out there on our YouTube channel and then be able to use that to drive sales. But for that, we need to set up a full distribution infrastructure for online sales in the United States. And that's not that simple.
So it's kind of two sides of the coin. You need to know what you have to have ready for on the marketing side, and then you have to be ready on the distribution side for
to
when that
capitalize
push,
to be able to turn that
you
into
you can't have one without
into,
the other.
Into potential sales. You can set up all your potential sales first, because you're on Amazon, you're already selling.
Mm-hmm.
But to push that, you need content, and so the first comes the distribution structure, and the distribution structure is complicated to do profitably.
Right.
Like you can, of course, you can do it, but
not
profitable.
And to not have the price of your product go through the
roof.
So
we've tried penetrating the U.S. market. The fragmentation of the U.S. market results in smaller companies like ours pretty much losing their shirt when they try to penetrate retail. So we've tried three different ground game approaches with three different distributors, and it just became too expensive to push, because you're going to have a shelf entry cost, what are called listing fees.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the margin of one distributor, you're going to have margin of separate warehouses, you're going to have the margin of a second distributor sometimes, because one distributor doesn't go to all the other stores, so they on-use another distributor, and then the retailer marks it up. And in the United States, basically you take the full hit of the promo. Retailers do not want to participate. They want money up front for the listing fee, plus you take the entire cost of the promo. So that means, and none of the distributors participate in the cost of that promo. So that means you're taking dollar for dollar on the chin. So $1 off means $1 off to you, not through the chain of distribution, right?
Any coupon that Wafu offers, Wafu pays that price.
Full price. So that makes promotional spend quite unprofitable, because you really, you're reducing your margins sometimes into a negative cash flow scenario.
Right? To get that product into the consumer's hands.
For and then if time. if you don't promote it, then what happens is it doesn't. There's no velocity of turn on shelf. Retailers will see it as not a successful product, and they're going to create a bad perception of the brand because it didn't move fast enough in the States. So we decided that instead of like just battling it out and just, you know, throwing money at this issue, we just didn't think that we were there yet. And we just let the U.S. market go without any investment. Basically, we'll sell to whoever wants to buy from us and the distributors, but we're really not pushing it. Because we just found it so expensive, and also creating a loss for us, a cash flow cost for us that we couldn't bear as a small company.
So let's bring this kind of to an end here, and we'll talk about 2019, the rest of the year, and plans into the future, 2020 and beyond.
So 2019 is basically finishing to set up our online distribution structure for Amazon in the United States, launching Wafu and Amazon as a brand and as a product for immediate delivery to consumers in the United States, with a marketing push on Amazon with Amazon consulting experts that know what they're doing in terms of operating in the Amazon space.
Mm-hmm.
And then follow that in 2020 by developing a content and a YouTube channel to both create brand awareness in the United States, build brand awareness in the United States, and drive online sales on Amazon. And what happens when you do that successfully, you're going to get sales data. And the sales data is what allows you to present yourself to a retailer and say, here are my demographics, here's my sales data in your geographic space. This is why you should have my product, because the people that buy from your store are the same people that are buying online and then within your region. And that's a much more convincing argument, right? When the buyers have never seen your product,
mm-hmm.
to come in with retail data, with e-commerce sales data behind the proposition that your product would work in the stores.
Interesting to see that next step that you're already in the middle of taking has the steps 2 and 3 behind it already set up down the road. So it's been such a wonderful story, Wafu, up to this point, and I can't wait to follow it and to see what you do in the future.
Thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for spending the time today.
Thanks.
So that was Gil Michel Garcia, president of Wafu Dressing.